Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
All right, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. We're so glad that you're joining us. We're going through a series on love, and this is kind of the first part of the series. Yesterday we had the introduction to what love is, and we looked at the Apostle Paul, and we looked at the church at Philippi and its foundation. We looked at the fact that Paul was so grateful for the Philippians, and he was so thankful for them, and that's kind of how he commonly began many of his epistles. Winnie the Pooh famously said, "If the person you are talking to doesn't appear to be listening, be patient. It may simply be that he has a small piece of fluff in his ear." So today, as we're talking about love, we're talking about love actually listens. Proverbs 18:13 says that to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Many years ago, I memorized James 1:19. I had it on the dashboard of my car, and it says, "Every man should be slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, always ready to listen." And when you love somebody, you really listen to them. I liked a little riddle that a husband gave to his wife one day, and challenging his wife, the man began, "You're the engineer of a train. There are 36 people on board. At the first stop, 10 get off and 2 get on. At the next stop, nobody gets off, but 5 get on. At the third stop, 4 get off and 2 get on. Now for the question, what is the name of the engineer?" "Well, how should I know that?" snapped the wife. "See, you never listen. Right at the start, I said, you are the engineer of a train." So many times we don't listen well. When you really love somebody, however, you listen to them intently. I remember my wife and I, when we started dating, and we were dating back in the day where we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have the instant communication and social media that we have today. And so we had those long distance phone calls. And if you're over the age of 50, you can relate to this, in that you would pay 25 cents a minute for a phone call. And I remember I would listen to my wife, and I'd get so caught up in the conversation, and then I'd have a phone bill each month, $500 and $600. But you know what? It didn't matter. I didn't care, because I wanted to hear what she had to say. Whenever she sent me a letter, I was serving as a youth pastor up in Massachusetts while we were dating and while we were engaged. And she was here in the Hampton Roads area going to Old Dominion. And I would get letters from her. And again, this was before a whole lot of email and all that. And I would get those letters and I would read them over and over and again. She put a little perfume in that letter, and that would kind of attract my attention to it. And I just would read those letters over and over again. Why? Because I was hearing from somebody who I really loved and who really loved me. And I would soak up those letters, and I would listen to them. And I knew all these great things about my wife. I knew these obscure facts about her. And why? Because I loved her. In Luke chapter 8, we're going to talk about being careful how we listen. Jesus put it this way, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. "Nobody lights a candle and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will be disclosed and nothing canceled that will be known or brought out into the open." Verse 18. "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." And so if you love the Lord, you're going to listen to what he has to say right here. "Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them." Now, Jesus's mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Somebody told them, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So we kind of have a dual meaning here as we look at this particular passage. We learn that those who hear God's word and put it into practice are truly God's disciples. We also learn from this is that when we love something, we listen and we hear to what we love, and then we put it into practice. So be careful how you listen, because however you respond to the message will eventually be revealed. There's an expression that goes this way. The truth always rises to the surface eventually. Unfortunately, deception, if it's like a running race, a deception will take a lap around the track before truth has ever begun. But truth always comes to the surface and eventually will win the day. If you are not putting to practice God's word, it will eventually be revealed. If you are putting God's word into practice, that too will be revealed. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 12. The good man brings good things out of a good store, out of treasure. The evil man brings evil things out of his evil store of treasure. But I tell you, that man will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that he has spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now that's some pretty convicting words that Christ has shared with us. He says the secrets of our heart are going to come out of our mouths, and our mouths will eventually be what condemns us. The last book in the Bible, in Revelation 22, it says, I warn everyone, everyone. You know, Revelation begins with a blessing. Blessed are those who read these words and heed these words. And then we get to the last chapter. Jesus warns us, everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this scroll, if you add to it, I will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. Listen to the word well, but don't add to it. And if anyone takes away words from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share of the tree of life and in his holy city, which is described in this scroll. So we have a strong admonition given to us at the conclusion of the Bible, not to forget that we should not add to the word, nor should we take away from the word. The purpose of this broadcast, Hope for Your Heart, is to bring encouragement to you through God's word. Yeah, we're going to do some daily application of God's word, and we're going to teach you how it applies to your life. But before we can get to that point, we have to properly interpret the scripture. When we look at this matter of love listens well, I think too many people love themselves so much, there's no love left for anybody else. If we truly love somebody, we will listen well to them. Here's just a couple points to go along with this. Number one is know God and he knows me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus put it like this, and he gives an analogy of a shepherd and a sheep in John 10:26. He says, you are my sheep, and because you are my sheep, you hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. But if you're not his sheep, you refuse to believe. We can't even know God until we hear the voice and believe what the shepherd has to say. Jesus is a good shepherd of the sheep. Now today, if my wife were to call me and I picked up the phone, and let's say I didn't look at the caller ID, and as she began to speak, I said, who is this? You'd be shocked. I recognize my wife's voice. Why do I recognize her voice? Because I know her. I've communicated often with her. I don't need caller ID for me to say, this is my wife that I'm speaking to on the phone. That is true with anybody that you love. You recognize their voice. Here's the second thing. When we listen well, it shows others that we know God and that he knows me. But secondly, it shows that I know you and we have a connection. Song of Solomon is an interesting book. I remember in college, I went through the book of Song of Solomon. And when you think about the Song of Solomon, it's really a love letter. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8, Solomon says, ah, I hear my lover coming, leaping over the mountains. This is his wife talking about him coming home, bounding over the hills. My wife is like a swift gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he is behind a wall, looking through the window, peering into the room. My lover said to me, Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Look, winter is past, and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit. The fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. What an interesting passage this is. Two people, husband and wife, loving one another, knowing one another, having that connection. When you think about having a connection with people, James reminds us that we're to take note in the verse that I quoted earlier in the broadcast, that we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, the average person can listen and comprehend at a rate of 300 words per minute. Well, the average person will speak and communicate at 100 words per minute. Most preachers will deliver their messages about 150 words per minute. And that typically, a fast talking auctioneer, for example, can go up to 250 words per minute. The point is, I remember many years ago when I was studying listening skills that it's easy to get distracted when listening because we can listen much faster than the person we are listening to can speak. So we've got to be intentional to listen well to people. Don't just listen with the mindset, I've got to figure out what I'm going to say next. Listen to learn. Slow your mind down. Slow your heart down so you can listen to what that person is actually saying. Your love will be fake for them if you're harboring hate. Love listens well. And when I listen well, I have this connection because I know you. Number three, I will hear you and I will help you when I listen well. James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters? If somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? And then he gives us an analogy. He says, suppose a brother or sister doesn't have any clothing, doesn't have any daily food, and they come to you and you say to them, go in peace. Keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about it, nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. How do I know I'm listening well to somebody? I hear them, and then I help them. The importance of effective listening is an article that was written in Forbes magazine. And it said that 85% of what we know, we have learned through listening. Humans generally listen at a 25% comprehension rate. In other words, when you're listening to somebody, you can pick up 25% of what they're saying, and you have the overall direction of where that conversation is going. In a typical business day, we spend 45% of our time listening, 30% of our time talking, 16% of our time writing, and 9% of our time reading. Less than 2% of all professionals have had formal education or any kind of learning on how to improve their listening skills. Listening is so very important because lastly, listening says, I care about you and we're clear about each other. We know where we stand with one another. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked for. You see, it's so easy to get the wrong impressions in our minds because we're not listening well. We can dwell on something that is almost true or partially true, and we can miss the key components of listening well to others. A reporter once asked Mother Teresa what she said during her prayers. She replied, I listen. The reporter then asked, well then, what does God say? Mother Teresa answered with a smile, God listens. There is a weird strategy that Dr. Seuss used when he created his greatest works. In 1960, two men made a bet. There was only $50 on the line, but millions of people would feel the impact of this small wager. The first man was Bennett Cerf, the founder of Random House. The second man was named Theo Geisel, but you probably know him as Dr. Seuss. Cerf proposed the bet and challenged that Dr. Seuss would not be able to write an entertaining children's book using 50 different words or less. Dr. Seuss took the bet and he won. The result was a little book called Green Eggs and Ham. Since publication, it has sold more than 200 million copies, making it the most popular of Seuss's works and one of the best-selling children's books in history. At first glance, you might think this was a lucky fluke. A talented author plays a fun little game with 50 words and ends up producing a hit. But there's actually more to this story and lessons in it that can help us become more creative and stick to better habits over the long haul. When Dr. Seuss discovered through this little bet was there is power of setting constraints. Constraints are not the enemy. Every artist has a limited set of tools to work with. Every athlete has a limited set of skills to train with. Every entrepreneur has a limited amount of resources to build with. Once you know your constraints, you can creatively figure out how to work with them. There's a lot of authors who complain about writing a book with only 50 words. But there was one author who decided to take the tools he had available and make a work of art instead. Some of you probably wish maybe your pastor's sermon was only 50 words or less. But as you think about caring for somebody, when we care for somebody, we will listen to them well. It is one of the best ways that we can show that we love them. Shortly before he died, Rowland Hill, an 18th century British preacher who was used so greatly by God, was visiting an old friend who said, "Mr. Hill, it is now 65 years since I've heard you preach, but I remember your text and a part of your sermon." "Well," asked the preacher, "what part of the sermon do you recollect?" His friend answered, "You said that some people, when they went to hear a sermon, were very squeamish about the delivery of the preacher. They said, supposing you went to hear the will of one of your relatives being read, and you were expecting a legacy from him, you would hardly think of criticizing the manner in which the lawyer read the will. But you would be full of attention, ready to hear if anything was left for you. And if so, how much? That is the way to hear the gospel. Not worrying about how a message is sounding or delivering, but picking up the message. There's something very important about the last words of people. When I met with my dad before he died, he shared with me some last words. I wasn't able to be with him when he died, but I was there just a few months before he did pass. And one of the things that he shared with me is that he really loved his family, and he really loved me as his son, and that he really loved serving the Lord. And he prayed before he passed that all of his children would be marrying godly spouses. He said, "I prayed that God would keep me alive long enough to see all 7 of my children marry godly spouses." My sister, who's the baby of the family, was almost raised as a child by herself because there were 6 of us, and then there was a 10-year gap, and they had my sister Sarah. So my dad was a man of faith, and he prayed fervently that he'd be able to live long enough to see all of his children marry godly spouses. And because my sister Sarah was born 10 years after the youngest child in our family, I was worried that he would not see her wedding. But you know, God is a God who answers prayers, and he was able to be there for her wedding. And 2 years after she was married, he passed away. My dad taught me how to live by faith. As a matter of fact, on the back of the tombstone of his gravestone are 3 simple words: lived by faith. When you love somebody, you listen to them well and you want to hear what they have to say. There's something very special about saints who get older and sharing what they want to share with us before they pass on. I believe they have a wealth of wisdom to share with us. If you ever go to church around Easter time, for example, many times a pastor will share the last 7 sayings of Christ. Perhaps the most important saying that he said was, "It is finished." Now notice he didn't say, "I am finished." On that cross, he said, "It is finished." The work of redemption was complete. Every sin that every human would ever commit was on the cross. Jesus finished paying for your sins. He was brought down into that tomb, and then 3 days later, he rose again. But I want you to know today that God loves you unconditionally. And he loves you so much that he's willing to give his very best for you. As we continue on with this series called What Love Is, today we have learned that love listens and it listens well. I hope that you join us tomorrow as we go into part number 2, where it talks about love offering something. Love always offers something, and it offers hope. And that's the name of this broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. We will love others best when we're filled with hope of Christ within us. Thank you so much for tuning in to this broadcast. We are excited about offering hope to our community, and I hope to see you tomorrow. And so, Lord, as we close out this broadcast today, I pray that our hearts would be opened. We are right around the holiday season. We're going to go and see family members that maybe we haven't seen for a while. So, Lord, would you allow us to go in the blessed hope and share that with them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you today put your faith and trust in Christ? If you'd like to be saved today, you can pray this prayer right along with me. The prayer goes like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I realize my sin has caused my life to be broken and separated from you. I accept the gift that Christ gave me. I accept the fact that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again 3 days later. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. You can write to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard, South Chesapeake, Virginia. Love to hear from you, or you can email me. My email address is ccorbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T, at H-R-C-C, and then a number 7.org.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, this is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church right here in Chesapeake, Virginia. Have you ever lost hope? I know that I have, and sometimes I put my hope in the wrong place. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday on this station at 4:30 for a broadcast we're calling Hope for Your Heart. You have hope in the Word of God, and I hope that you will join me Monday through Friday right here at 4:30 p.m.